make sure you got your Bibles open. When you see here in verse 4 where it says all his work is done in truth. Y'all, it ain't just about the creation around you. He has created you. You are his work. You are his workmanship, his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus, he says. You are his work. We just wasn't talking about just the trees and the moon and the stars and the lakes and the oceans and the grass. No. You are his workmanship. He fashioned you. He breathed his breath in you. You are his work. And if you are his work, he's going to take care of his work. Because his word is right. But his work have to walk in his truth. Yeah. Not your truth. Yeah. Not a truth. Yeah. His truth. God is good. God is good. God is good. Amen. He's good all the time. Even when you move your clock up an hour, he's still good, huh? Amen. I'm going to invite your attention into Psalm 33 as we've been here. Prayerfully, we will finish our conversation in Psalm 33 today. And move on to the next psalm. Amen. Amen. But Psalm 33, we're going to pray. We're going to get started. Father, we thank you on this day for being so wonderful. We pray now for your guidance, for your spirit, Father, to be here, be present, be in within each and every one's filling us, Father, even the more. We pray now, Lord, that you will give us conviction to preach your word. And then, Father, that we will receive your word and conviction. We pray for clarity as well. And Father, we pray that you will gird us now with your holy armor, cover us with your favors and protect us, shield, deliver us from the enemy's hand on this day. And then, Father, dispatch your angels on the stand, guard, stand, watch over us. Father, protect our hearts as the seed of life is being planted, Father, in there, therein, that the enemy will not come and try to. As he tries to attempt to steal, Father, the seed of life, we pray for your protection over it. We give you thanks and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. And all people of God said together, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. We are still in Psalm 33. You don't have to stand. I read it a few times in your hearing. So we're going to just jump right into it from last week. Amen. We are still talking about this is who we are. This is who we are. And I share with you before that even though the psalmist talking about the sovereignty and the strength and sustainability of God, there are some things in here that as we look at it from a different angle, from a different viewpoint, we look at the sovereignty, the strength, and sustainability of God as believers because we belong to him. And so we're able to get through things in our life because of who he is. And because of who he is, that's why we are who we are. Amen? Amen. As we focus on him and know that we have all of these advantages and all of these benefits of being a child of God. You know, and of course we kicked it off about just when I talked to you about when it says, rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous. Amen. We are declared righteous. We declare, you know, to be in the family of God. And so we dealt with that in our intro. And so I want to continue just in the body of our message from last week. We had talked about how I began on the first point This is who we are. We acknowledge the Father who is faithful. We acknowledge the Father. This is who we are. We acknowledge the Father who is faithful. And I took you to verses 4-6. And let's kind of take a look at that real quick again. Keep your Bibles open because we're going to walk through this passage on today, if you don't mind. All right. And it probably won't be a whole lot of shouting on this on today, but I want to get something into your spirit on today. Amen. So look at verses 4-6. He says, "For the word of the Lord is right, and all his work is done in truth." All his work is done in truth. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. This really encapsulates all of what the rest of the psalm is really all about. What the rest of the psalm does is explains a lot of what the psalmist says in verses 4 and 5. And even verse 6 where it says, "By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth." If you can see that there, even in verse 6, you can see a picture of the Trinity as well. It says, "By the word, the Son of the Lord," L-O-R-D, Yahweh, God. You know, and then it says, and then all the hosts of them by the breath, amen, of his mouth, Ruach, the Spirit of God. And so we look at how God, you know, is involved, how Trinity is involved, you know, in the creation. Just throw that in there for you for free real quick. But understand, he says, I'm telling you that we acknowledge the Father who is faithful. And then we talked about in here, for the word of the Lord is right. His word is eternal. And I shared with you last week about the eternality of God. And so I don't have to go too much into that about his word establishing, you know, and his word continuing to hold up heaven. His word is faithful. It's the most faithful word in all of history and eternity. Amen. Our word is not as faithful as his word. His word is constant, continual, consistent. His word is faithful. It's going to do what he sent it out to do. Whatever God has promised to you, it's going to come into being because he says nothing can stop it when he sends it out. That's one of the blessings of being who we are. We have the blessing of the fact that the promises of God, the word of God, literally holds us up and covers us. That's who we are. So when all this craziness is going on around you, all this chaos is going on around you, all the stuff that's happening from D.C. to the state to the local, I mean, all the stuff that is happening that is starting to give you a bunch of fear and it's starting to cause you to tremble and give you a bunch of anxiety, at the end of the day, you live in the word of the Lord. You live with the word of the Lord. You live with the most faithful God. He is faithful to his word. And so no matter what happens around you, he got you while stuff is going on around you. I was talking to some pastors on yesterday, and I was reminded of Habakkuk. When all the stuff was happening with Habakkuk, and Habakkuk was questioning the Lord on, "Lord, I mean, you said that we were your chosen people, we were righteous, but yet you're allowing these dogs, these heathens, to come in and to do anything you want to with their people." But at the end of the conversation, he said, "But I will stand on the rampart, I will stand in my watch, and I will watch to see what the Lord will do." Because he said, "I don't care what goes on around, I'm going to trust your word." His word is eternal. Okay, so what did he speak to you in your time? Did you carve out enough time in your day to even hear from the Lord? I'm going to ask that one more time, because did you carve out any time in the day to hear from the Lord? Because if you haven't, then how do you know where to go? What to do? How do you know direction to take? For the word of the Lord is right. So in other words, if the word of the Lord is right, your word, you fill in the blank. So... You know, and I want us to understand this. And so, and not only does it say that for the word of the Lord is right, but then he goes and says, and all his work is done in truth. Yes. So whatever he does is done in truth. In other words, it's done, there's the term integrity means being able to bring your actions and your words together and they meet. In other words, your words are the same as your actions, and your actions the same as your word. It's called integrity. As a matter of fact, there's a term in theology. It's called the simplicity of God and the unity of God. And there's this big old $10 term called the integrality of God. In other words, God being, in other words, integral. In other words, everything that he does as one. Yeah. So we see his word is eternal. So then therefore, if his word is eternal, then the next step is his work is established. Uh-huh. Because his word is, it says right here, it says, and all his work is done in truth. Yeah. Everything that God does, he does in truth. Yeah. Think about that. Everything he does in your life, he does in truth. Y'all get that just yet?
Yeah.
So everything that God does for you, he does in truth. What does that mean? All that seems to mean is that when God operates in your life, he operates based off of his word in your life. And whatever he does in your life is true. And it's going to pan out. Whatever he does. But just so you understand where we're going with this, there are examples. Because it says all his work is done in truth. Well, really, what they're talking about really is the creation of God. Because it goes from verses 7 on down through verse 17 to talk about how all of his works are done and how his works are done. Look at verse 7. He gathers the waters of the sea together. He lays up the deep and storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke and it was done. He commanded it and it stood fast. He's speaking, y'all, and he's working while he's speaking. As a matter of fact, his speaking is his working.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So when he speaks something into your life, he's already got it there. And all you have to do is walk in what he has spoken to you to walk in. But you don't know what he has spoken if you have not spent no time with him. But his work is established. His work is established. In other words, understand when you look around you, you know, and you look in nature, you start to figure out, well, his work and his word upholds all of what you see. Amen. The minute he stops speaking, everything falls apart.
Amen.
See, yeah, I missed that right there. Because so right now, the Lord, when he spoke the world into existence, because his word is so strong, because the word is continuous, constant, because his word is transcendent, even though he spoke it back before time, it traveled through time and is holding up the world right now in time. And after time, it will still hold together whatever he wants to hold together. That's kind of deep, ain't it? Because his word is right and all his work is done in truth. So when he speaks something to you, know that it's going to come to pass. It's done in truth. I don't care who says what to you and who says what about you and who says what around you. If God has spoken something to you, then it's the truth.
Yes.
And that's what you go by.
Yes.
Don't go by what people have said.
Yes.
And we do. As a matter of fact, y'all, many of us are living defeated lives. Because we have leaned on and trusted in lies about us, to us, from people who even care about us. No, we ain't talking about don't know us. I'm talking about even care about us. Because see, I'm not going to listen to somebody who don't know me. But if there's somebody who's close to me and they speak, and the Lord has spoken one thing, but then I trust them and their word over his word. His word is spoken, it is right, and his work is done in truth. Okay. Yeah, I know his work is done in truth, right? So, Brother Murray, when you were created, and David said that you were skillfully wrought in the ends of the, and it says, matter of fact, he says, before you even know it, he knew what you were going to do before you were even brought forth.
Uh-huh.
Because you were created in truth.
Uh-huh.
And so, in truth, he says, this is why I created Brother Merrill.
Okay.
Now, Brother Merrill just needs to find that truth and that purpose to walk in so that as he is created in truth and purpose, then God is going to protect you and give you benefits and bless you as you walk in that pathway that he has placed you on, because You are walking in truth. You are walking in the word that went before you while he was forming you in your mama's womb. Because you are his work. And ain't that what Paul said in Ephesians? He says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk therein. So when y'all see here in verse, make sure you got your Bibles open. When you see here in verse 4 where it says all his work is done in truth. Y'all, it ain't just about the creation around you. He has created you. You are his work. You are his workmanship, his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus, he says. You are his work. We just wasn't talking about just the trees and the moon and the stars and the lakes and the oceans and the grass. No. You are his workmanship. He fashioned you. He breathed his breath in you. You are his work. And if you are his work, he's going to take care of his work. Because his word is right. But his work have to walk in his truth. Yeah. Not your truth. Yeah. Not a truth. Yeah. His truth. Yeah. I'm going to keep rolling. So not only that, so he says, for the word of God is eternal and his work is established. Mm-hmm. But then I saw here where his wisdom is exemplary. We said, well, you see that? I'm glad you asked that question because I had to go to the scriptures a little bit to find, so you can understand where I'm going with this, because even in verse 4 where he says, for all his work is done in truth, you have to remember something in the word of God. In Psalm 104:24 says this, how manifold are your works? In wisdom you have made them all. He says works, plural. He says, so in wisdom, you have made them all. So understand that the wisdom of God is exemplary. In other words, it's exemplary in a sense where it is magnificent. It is beyond, reproduction. You can't even reproduce the wisdom of God. Now, you can try to walk in the wisdom of God. And the wisdom of God is one of his characteristics. Now, he gives us some wisdom, but we don't have his wisdom. But he alone some wisdom to you and I. But I don't want to get too far off the path. I just thought about that. Just kind of throw it out there to you. But let's get back to the scripture here. He says, for all his work is done in truth, but his work is also done in wisdom. He says, how manifold are your works? In wisdom you have made them all. To him who by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endures forever, Psalm 136. Proverbs 3 says this, the Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. His knowledge... By his knowledge, the depths were broken up. Jeremiah goes and he says this, he has made the earth by his power. He established the world by his wisdom and has stretched out the heavens at his discretion. Now, in other words, understand that when I start talking about the wisdom of God, understand it's not just simply just thrown out there, because his works are his wisdom. His works comes from his wisdom. God created you in his wisdom. There's a characteristic of God where we talk about, you know, how he created, you know, and he created, you know, it's called there had to be an intelligent being to be able to create what you see. And that we did not, you know, come from an amoeba, some little one-celled amoeba that eventually, you know, formed all over the millennial. No. The Lord literally set us down and he literally intelligently put us all together. I ain't got time. Just understand. Understand. You know, when you cut yourself, do you heal yourself? And I I don't want to get it. His works are wisdom. His wisdom is exemplary. You are his work in wisdom. The world is his work. The earth is his work in wisdom. We would never be able to understand the wisdom of God. We'll keep going. So we acknowledge the Father who is faithful as we look at these verses here, verse 4 and 5. But now I want to take y'all to we're gonna scan this psalm here, because the second point is we adhere to a foundation of faith. As believers, we adhere to a foundation of faith. We don't believe in a bunch of lies. We don't believe in the ones who tell the lies. We walk on a foundation of faith. We adhere to that. And what do you mean by that? I'm glad you asked that question. Now, I want you to follow me here. Let's start with verse 7. Look what it says. He gathers the waters. He lays up the deep in the storehouses. Then in verse 9, it says, for he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood still. Then verse 10 says, he makes the plans of people of no effect. Verse 11, the counsel of the Lord stands forever. Look at verse 13. The Lord looks from heaven. He sees the Son of Man. He looks on all inhabitants. He fashions their hearts. He considers. Behold, and then verse 18, behold, the eye of the Lord is on all those who fear him, you know, on those who hope in his mercy. So look what, and so some verse from verse 7 through verse 15. In other words, this is what God is doing. And so the reason why I talk about how we must adhere to a foundation of faith is because the writer is showing you what God is doing, and he's showing you how faithful God is. And so if God is faithful, then we must walk on this foundation of faith, believing and trusting in the one who is doing all of this already for you and I, and who have done this already in the earth. Amen. Y'all, we have to walk on a foundation of faith. If we don't walk on a foundation of faith, we will crumble at everything that comes our way that we can't handle. All this tells me is that he can handle whatever it is, be it in the earth, be it in the world, be it with me. In other words, he can handle even the enemies in my life. He can handle even when I set up my plans and my plans don't go the way they're supposed to go because I'm not going the way he goes. His counsel is what upholds me. Yeah. It's a foundation of faith that we must walk in as believers. This is who we are. When we see who God is, we then respond to who he is. With our lives, we respond to who he is. With our conversation, we respond to who he is. Not to what people are doing to us. Not to what people are saying about us. Not to what people are doing around us. We respond to who he is. As I was thinking about, you know, once again, we're talking about our ancestors and our fathers and forefathers and parents and grandparents and great-grandparents and all that they went through. They had to have a foundation of faith to be able to make it through what they went through. Like I told y'all before, and I tell you again, if you didn't see and you couldn't comprehend, if you didn't see the term for colored only, you ain't been through nothing yet. Now, I ain't talking about in the museum. I'm talking about if you didn't live through the time where you saw for colored folk and for white folk, you ain't been through nothing yet. But you're about to go through what they went through back then. But what they went through back then, they were able to hold and stand firm on their faith. Amen. Because of this God who gathers the waters. He lays up everything. He spoke and it was done. He commanded. But here's the deal. When he says he brings the counsel of the nation to nothing, he makes the plans of the people of no effect. But then it says, verse 11, the counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart to all generations. His plan is going to work. I don't care what you see around you. And sometimes, as a matter of fact, the plan of God includes us getting our act together. Uh-huh. And the plan of God includes sometimes bringing some stuff into our lives that's going to cause some adversity in our lives that's going to then cause us to then run back to Him. People say that we're going through what we're going through because the Lord trying to get America right. No, the Lord trying to get America right. The Lord trying to get the church right. The Lord, and I want to say this. It's not that the Lord is not concerned about America, because the Lord is concerned about America, but the Lord is concerned more about the church in America. Because we belong to Him. America don't belong to the Lord. Y'all, America is not a Christian nation. America tolerates Christianity. And there are some things, not a lot, but there are some things that were supposed to have been founded on Christianity in America. But God's concern is not about America, more so than it is concerned about the church, the people of God in America. The Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. This is what I'm trying to get to. He sees all the sons of men. From the place of his dwelling, he looks on all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts. Y'all, we have to understand, we must adhere to this foundation of faith, because look at what God is trying to do for you and I. Look what he's trying to, you have to understand that God has his eye. He has his eyes on you. Chapter 11. I'm going to get on and get off here. Chapter 11, verse 4 and 5, it says, "The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids test the sons of men. The Lord tests the righteous, but the wicked ones who love, but the wicked and the ones who love violence, his soul hates." But he says, the Lord is in his holy temple in heaven, and his eyes behold, his eyelids test the sons of men. In other words, I was listening to Dr. Charlie Dates a few Sundays ago. He said that term, his eyelids, really mean that the Lord squints. So what do you do when you squint, when you don't have your glasses on? You're trying to see better. Now, granted, God has no imperfections. But this is a good anthropomorphic understanding for us to see. In other words, he takes some human eyes, and he says that he squints. In other words, he is peering at you. Oh, you missed that. See, that's why we must walk on this foundation of faith, because we have a God whose eyes is never off of us. As a matter of fact, it said that his eyes are squinting. His eyes are deliberately and still looking at you and at what you are trying to do and what you're trying to accomplish, so that he can do what he wants to do in your life. God is looking at you, just in case you see that. 2 Chronicles 16:9 simply says this: "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong to those whose hearts are loyal to him." That didn't excite you? Well, maybe Job will tell you. Job said that, "For his eyes are on the ways of man." He sees all his steps. He sees every step. That still didn't excite you? Okay, maybe I don't believe the word. Let me see. Oh, here it is. In Deuteronomy 11, it says, "The eyes of the Lord your God are always on you." That don't make no sense. Well, here, let's go to 2 Chronicles 7:12-17. I'm going to read all of it, but in 15 it says, "Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place, for now I have chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever." But then it says, "My eyes and my heart will be there perpetually." You didn't get that, did you? Remember when Minister Mo was talking about how it's good to come to church? Because what was happening was he was simply responding to a prayer that Solomon had prayed. And then Solomon, y'all probably remember this, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray." Well, that was right before this happened. He says, when they do all that stuff, my eyes will be open to them. When they do all this stuff, my ears will be attentive to them. When they do all that stuff, my eyes and my heart will be there, will be in this place perpetually, because I'm here for you. You still didn't get that, did you? Y'all still not excited. No, I know what it is. Minister Maul, you know when we were talking about in Bible study? What was that? What did I say in Bible study about the history and the... I was saying something because, see, I think what's happening is
We are allowed. We're allowing the history to cloud our eyes, and because the history is clouding our eyes, you know, we can't see eternity. So what was that? What was I saying? See, many of us, we've got so caught up in history, the here and now. See, and what I shared in Bible class says, don't get so caught up in history that you push eternity aside. Because what happens is you literally push God aside because you're so caught up in your stuff. You're so caught up in who you are and what you are doing. And God said, my eyes are on you at all times. My eyes are open to you. My ears are hearing you. But at some point in time in your my life, you've got to move history aside and you've got to peer into eternity and see the God who was on your side trying to lift you up, trying to help you out. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go, the Lord says. I will guide you with my eye. I got some more for you, but we got to keep moving because I only got about 3 more minutes left here. So we have to adhere to a foundation of faith. That foundation of faith is our faith in the Father who is faithful. We've got to continue to keep our eyes and our hearts focused on him. Y'all, when we go through stuff in our life, and I'm going to have to stop here because I'm not going to get to my next couple of points, but I need you to see this. When think about the children of Israel in Egypt. Think about when they were there for 400-something years. And the Lord said, okay, I've heard their cries. And so I'm getting ready to move them out of Egypt. But before I move them out of Egypt, I've got to make sure that Pharaoh's going to let them go. But I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart first. So that Pharaoh don't let them go until some things happen in their lives. And so he says, in order for me to make sure that they know who I am and that the God, the Lord Jehovah, the great I am, is the one who's delivering them, I've got to show them that I can defeat the God of the Egyptians each time around. So he says, what I need to do is I need to be able to send some plagues. And so I'm going to send some plagues into their lives. And in each plague I'm going to send, I'm going to defeat the God that the Egyptians call on. And so while I sent the plague in their life, plague one I sent, then all of a sudden, plague one, it happened on the Egyptians, but the Israelites were protected. Plague two, it happened on the Egyptians, but the children of Israel were protected. Plague three, it happened on the Egyptians, but the children of Israel were protected. Plague four, it happened on the Egyptians, but the children of Israel were protected. Plague five, happened on the Egyptians, but then the Israelites, they were protected. Plague six, happened on the Egyptians, but the children of Israel were protected. Plague seven, happened on the Egyptians, but then the children of Israel were protected. Plague eight, happened on the Egyptians, but the children of Israel were protected. Plague nine, happened on the Egyptians, but the children of Israel were protected. Plague 10, when death came, it came to those who were the Egyptians, but because of the blood that was covered on the post of the Egyptian, on the Israelites' doorpost, because of the blood of the lamb, they were covered in the blood of the Messiah. They were covered in the blood of the lamb. And because they were covered in the blood of the lamb, they escaped death. While death was all around them, they had life all in them. Understand something. You must walk on a foundation of faith, and the one who provides the foundation of faith is your faithful Father, who deals with you every day of your life, whose eyes and ears are on you at all times. As believers, you must adhere to a foundation of faith. Your faith is not in the stuff that you see. Your faith is not in the people that you hang out with. Your faith is not in the money you make, the jobs you have, the place you go, the people you hang out with. Your faith must be in the Father who is faithful to you at all times. Remember, I told you at the beginning, you know, that our words are not faithful. I told you I was going to finish up today. I ain't finishing up today. I'm trying to do this, y'all, because I need y'all to understand who you are.
Yes, yes.
And whose you are.
Yes.
I tell folk all the time, you know what? I'm done, but I got to share this. My mom is 91 years old. Eighth grade education, mom. Eighth grade education. She has more faith in her pinky than I have in my whole body. Now, let me finish. Now, I've gone to school. I know one or two Hebrew words, one or two Greek words. I know the construct of the Bible. I know the construct of the original language, how it came to us. I know how many books in the Bible. I know all. I know some scripture. I know. I have knowledge of that, sis. I have knowledge of that. But what I don't have is what allowed her to go through 91 years of existence. Because she knew and she knows of the faithful Father. I'm starting to get there. With all my education. But y'all, you do know that education and intellect does not transfer into intimacy. So I'm trying to get you to understand who you are and whose you are. This is who we are. We are a people who have a Father who is faithful to us. And we are a people who have a foundation of faith, even though we don't stand on it like we need to. Because that's going to be the only thing you can stand on in these years to come. I'll say it again at the end. If you've not seen physically and read physically for colored folk, for colored people, and for white people, if you've not seen it, you don't know what you're getting ready to go through. So instead of kicking our seniors aside, you might want to have a conversation with them and learn from them. Elon Musk can say what he want to say. Donald Trump can say what he want to say. All them cabinet members can say what they want to say. But at the end of the day, we're about to go through some things. You better know who you are. You better know whose you are. Because that's what's going to get us through.